Sam Hamill was one of the poets invited by Laura Bush to participate in a White House symposium on poetry scheduled for mid-February. He declined as a statement of his opposition to the war. Then he went a step further. Hamill started the website poetsagainstthewar.org and collected around 13,000 poems written in opposition to the war with Iraq. Nearly 200 of those poems are collected in the new book, Poets Against the War. Hamill is the founding editor of Copper Canyon Press, a poetry publishing house, and he's the author of 13 volumes of poetry. He's also the co-editor of the new book, The Complete Poems of Kenneth Rexroth. Before Hamill tells the story behind Poets Against the War, let's start with the first poem that appears in the new anthology and a description of the poet.
This is Virginia Adair, who was discovered as a poet when she was about 80 years old. She's 90 now and lives in a nursing home in California. Her poem's called Casualty. Fear arrived at my door with the evening paper, headlines of winter and war. It will be a long time to peace and the green rains.
Did she write this about the war in Iraq?
She wrote this specifically for Poets Against the War, yes.
Tell us a little bit about this project, how it came to be.
I was in January invited to attend a White House symposium on Walt Whitman, Emily Dickinson, and Langston Hughes by Mrs. Bush. And I couldn't possibly go to this White House. I am a diehard liberal, and I object to and resent the whole policy of this administration, and particularly its international relations in this war. So I asked a few fellow poet friends to send me poems to put together a small anthology to send in my place. And it turned out by the first week of March, we had 13,000 poems by almost 12,000 poets. They canceled that program the day after we began Poets Against the War.
And those are the poems edited. An edited version of those poems is what this
We edited 13,000 poems down to an anthology of 193 poems in 5 days, working with 25 editors.
Your book is actually dedicated to Laura Bush. Does she know that?
I don't know if she knows that yet, but how could I not dedicate it to her? She's a librarian. I believe she's a woman with honorable intentions. I don't think the policies of this administration are the least bit honorable, but I feel a great sympathy for Laura Bush. I think she's naive to believe that you can discuss poetry at all, and especially the poetry of Whitman, Dickinson, and Hughes, without discussing the political consequences of their poetry.
Let me ask you to read another poem from Poets Against the War.
This is a poem by W.S. Merwin, who I believe is perhaps the most important poet of the last probably 100 years in the American language. It's called Ogres. All night, waking to the sound of light rain falling softly through the leaves in the quiet valley below the window, and to Paula lying here asleep beside me, and to the murmur beside the bed of the dog snoring like small waves coming ashore. I am amazed at the fortune of this moment, in the whole of the dark, this unspoken favor, while it is with us, this breathing peace. And then I think of the frauds in office at this instant devising their massacres in my name. What part of me could they have come from? Were they made of my loathing itself, and dredged from the bitter depths of my shame? I think it's really remarkable the way Merwin, rather than looking outwardly and casting blame, he looks within himself. I think that's really important in that poem.
And that's a poem by W.S. Merwin included in the new anthology, Poets Against the War. My guest, Sam Hamill, edited the anthology. He's also the founding editor of Copper Canyon Press, and he's a poet himself. Have you been writing many poems about the war?
I've been living in a suitcase for 2 months. I have talked myself to death on politics, and I've written exactly one poem since this all began. It's the poem in the anthology called Sheep Herder Coffee.
Would you read it for us?
Sheep Herder Coffee. I used to like sheep herder coffee, a cup of grounds in my old enameled pot, then three cups of water and a fire, and when it's hot, boiling into froth, a half cup of cold water to bring the grounds to the bottom. It was strong and bitter and good as I squatted on the river bank under the great redwoods all those years ago. Some days it was nearly all I got. I was happy with my dog and cases of books in my funky truck. But when I think of that posture now, I can't help but think of Palestinians huddled in their ruins, the Afghani shepherd with his bleating goats, the widow weeping, sending off her sons, the Tibetan monk who can't go home. There are fewer names for coffee than for love. Squatting, they drink, thinking, waiting for whatever comes.
You've just edited this anthology, Poets Against the War. Why are you against the war in Iraq?
Well, I'm a practicing Zen Buddhist and have been for 40 years, so I am against basically all war. But this particular war, it seems to me, is senseless and cruel and stupid in ways that other wars, including the stupid ones, haven't been. It seems to me entirely self-serving of this administration. And I'm concerned about the Constitution of the United States and our civil rights and the accumulation of power by these people and the accumulation of wealth by corporate America. Mussolini defined fascism as the perfect marriage of corporation and state, and that's what I see coming down the pike.
Now, you describe yourself as a pacifist, but you were in the Marines. Did you fight in war?
No, I was pre-Vietnam. I was discharged in the spring of 1965.
Where did you serve?
I served mostly in Okinawa, where I began my Buddhist practice and became engaged with classical Japanese literature. I've spent most of the last 30 years translating ancient Chinese and Japanese poetry.
So did serving in the Marines and going to Okinawa, where you learned about Buddhism, lead you also to become a pacifist?
Yes, it did. I saw the consequences of what we had done there. And I became involved with the Japanese movement against nuclear arms and then later the American movement against nuclear arms. So I've been struggling against this kind of stupidity all my life. And I would add the fact that I was orphaned during World War II, where my birth father fought in the Pacific.
Was your mother already dead?
I don't know anything about my birth mother. My father came back from the war and carried me around for about a year. He was an illiterate fry cook, and he gave me to people in Utah with the promise that they not turn me over to the Mormons and that they teach me to read and write so I wouldn't end up like him.
And what did they do?
They taught me to read and write, but I escaped Utah at age 14 to go to San Francisco to be a beatnik in the late 50s.
Did you succeed at becoming a beatnik?
Well, I was too young and too naive. I picked up a heroin habit at age 15, and the poet Kenneth Rexroth kind of set me on the straight and narrow as a poet and told me that that kind of stuff would ruin me, as it had ruined so many other people. And fortunately, I got out, and it was getting out of that scene, actually, that brought me to the Marine Corps and a ticket to Japan, where I began to grow up.
So the Marines, although you're anti-war, the Marines actually helped you break the habit, see the world.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did. The Marine Corps builds men, and I guess I'm one of the men they built, but I doubt I'm their proudest moment.
What about poetry? How did you find poetry?
Well, I found poetry through my adoptive parents, both of whom had degrees in English, and used to read to me the poetry of the Romantics and Walt Whitman, surprisingly enough. So I grew up listening to poetry, and by the time I was six, I was writing poetry.
Now, you're here today because of the new anthology that you edited, Poets Against the War. I'm wondering if anti-war poetry has always been, ever since you were in the Marines, if it's always been an important part of your reading, if there's any older anti-war poems that have meant a lot to you.
Absolutely. When one reads the ancient Greek poets, one finds anti-war poetry. And a lot of the classical Chinese poets were exiled by the government for their comments on war policies and other policies. And some of the poets I've published over the years and whose careers I've managed to resurrect are people like Thomas McGrath, who served in the war during World War II and became a socialist, and Hayden Carruth, a great pacifist poet. So while not doing it consciously, it's simply a fact of poetry that politics are part of what we do.
Are there any older or ancient poems that you would like to quote a few lines from for us?
Let me give you my all-time favorite anti-war poem. It was written 305 years ago by the great Japanese poet Basho. "Summer grasses, all that remains of great soldiers' imperial dreams." When we were at war in Kuwait, I sent a copy of that poem to General Schwarzkopf and received back a letter from the Department of Defense thanking me for supporting our troops.
My guest is poet Sam Hamill, editor of the new anthology Poets Against the War. More after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is poet Sam Hamill, founder of the website poetsagainstthewar.org and editor of the new book, Poets Against the War. There's another poem I'd like you to read from Poets Against the War, and this is a poem by Katha Pollitt, who is an essayist as well as a poet. I know you like this poem a lot, too. Tell us what you like about it and then read it for us, if you will.
Well, I love that she combines the very personal, simple, daily fact of life with a little bit of high literary knowledge and some plain, ordinary, everyday language and experience. It's called Trying to Write a Poem Against the War. My daughter, who's as beautiful as the day, hates politics. Face it, Ma, they don't care what you think. All passion, like Achilles, she stalks off to her room to confide in her purple guitar and await life's embassies. She's right, of course. Bombs will be hurled at ordinary streets, and leaders look grave for the cameras. And what good are more poems against war, the real subject of which so often seems to be the poet's superior moral sensitivities? I could be mailing myself to the moon or marrying a palm tree. And yet what can we do but offer what we have? And so I spend this cold day, this cold gray glittering morning, trying to write a poem against war that perhaps may please my daughter, who hates politics and doesn't care much for poetry either.
Thanks for reading that. Katha Pollitt's poem is about the hopelessness of thinking a poem is going to have a big effect on the world, but at the same time, you do what it is you do. You offer what it is you're capable of offering. What are your thoughts about what poetry can actually do?
Poems change lives. It's not a matter of trying or expecting poets and poetry to change this administration's policies. It's simply a matter of allowing poets to do what they do. And many of us have felt suppressed by this administration. We felt unwelcome. This is not an administration that has much tolerance for diverse opinion. And I know that people will read these poems and they will think about our behavior as a society and they will think about their personal responsibility. And if poetry does nothing else, it elevates our sense of personal responsibility and personal participation in our culture. And this movement has created perhaps the first really great public conversation about the role of poetry in our culture in many, many years, maybe ever.
I'd like you to leave us with another poem from the new anthology, Poets Against the War.
This is a poem by Ruth Stone, who's 87 years old and won the National Book Award last year. It's called Be Serious. Perhaps it will snow. Oh, do be serious. We know that Washington is thick in bunting and Bush posters. A crow of sadness for the myth of democracy. A Supreme Court appointed head of government. a Republican Supreme Court-appointed Republican president. But what's a president, and what is democracy? Now we can see how all those other countries and states and republics live under their tyrants, how the poor die in the streets.
Thank you for reading that, and Sam Hamill, thank you very much for being with us.
It's a pleasure.
Sam Hamill is the editor of the new anthology Poets Against the War and the founder of the website poetsagainstthewar.org.